in chapter 43 and 44 and 45. It is probably one of the clearest pictures, but also one of the greatest stories concerning Joseph that becomes a type of Jesus Christ, as his brothers now not only have come for the first time to Egypt, but they've gone back, and now God begins to bring forth another famine so that they have to come a second time to Egypt. But this time, as Joseph is not only getting ready to receive his brothers, we see him not only as a type of Jesus Christ, but in their coming for the second time to Egypt, it's actually a picture of things to come, and it speaks of the second coming of Jesus Christ, when Joseph, as a type of Christ, reveals himself to the Jewish nation, the ones that have pierced him. And when they see him, they're going to ask him, "Who pierced your hands and your side?" And he'll say, "This was done in the house of my brothers. You did it to me." The picture of Jesus Christ being revealed to the nation of Israel, as Joseph now is revealed to his brothers. And it's a kind of exciting when you read the Old Testament scriptures and the pictures are here, and yet the New Testament had not been written at this particular time yet. And yet God in his perfect will and sovereignty was preparing the way for the Messiah to come, which was Jesus Christ. All here in the Old Testament at the beginning of all things. Notice how he begins the chapter. He says, "Now the famine was severely in the land. And it came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt the first time, that their father said to them, 'Go back and buy us a little food.'" Their father is Jacob. Jacob now is very old. And remember that he doesn't trust his children because he already lost Joseph. And Joseph wants his youngest brother to come. He said, "The next time you guys come, if you don't bring your younger brother, don't come down. Because I will not give you anything unless you bring him down." And they were kind of amazed because in a way they were thinking, how did this guy know so much about our family? They didn't know that it was Joseph because he looked like an Egyptian. He had shaved his head, he had no beard, and he looked just like an Egyptian. He wore the Egyptian attire too. Watch what happens. "And then it came to pass when they had eaten up everything that they needed to go back. But Judah spoke to his father, saying, 'The men solemnly warned us, saying, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.'" Judah, which means praise to the Lord in Hebrew, is also the one that the tribe of Judah would be the tribe that would bring the Messiah forth. Jesus would come through Judah. And Judah here is actually speaking to his father and reminding him that there's no possible way they can go back to Egypt unless their younger brother is with them, or else they are dead. That's what the man said, which was Joseph. He said, "If you send our brother with us, we will go down and we'll buy food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.'" And then Israel, Jacob, Israel means governed by God. He said, "Why did you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell the men whether you had still another brother?" Why did you go and tell him you had another brother, you dummies? That's literally what he's saying. You didn't have to tell him that. And he's going to say, "Well, no, the guy asked us." By this time I would be saying, "He asked you? Something's wrong here." But they were so blind that they couldn't see it. And remember, not one time since we've been reading about Jacob and his sons have we ever seen his sons speak about the things of the Lord. These guys seems, according to the story, that they were not even in tune with God. They were very carnal in their relationship to God. Very carnal. Jacob was the only one that really is in tune with God. But look what he says again. Verse 7. "And but they said, 'The men asked us pointedly, straight out,' he said, 'about ourselves and our kindred, saying, is your father still alive? Have you another brother?' And we told him, according to these words, could we possibly have known that he would say, 'Bring your brother down?'" Notice they couldn't figure it out. And then Judah said to Israel, his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you and also the little ones. But now what they didn't understand, if we go back on the story, is that this famine was the hand of God to literally take Jacob and his family to come down to Egypt to fulfill prophecy. Everything was in the hand of God. Everything was according to the will of God. From the time that Joseph was sold into Egypt until the time that they're coming down to Egypt, God had his hand on the whole situation. God has his hand on every one of the situations in your own personal life, believe it or not. God is in control of our lives. He knows exactly what we're going through. He knows exactly where we're heading. He knows everything about us. What we have to do is we have to align ourselves with the purposes and the will of God so that God can not only speak to me, but he can lead me and I can be in his perfect will. Not in his permissive will, but in his perfect will. I want to be in God's perfect will. And this is what God is trying to do here, align them with his perfect will. But they're blind. Verse 8 or 9. I myself will surely for him, from my hand you shall require him, he said. In verse 8, he said, then Judah said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we will, he says, that we may live and not die, but we and you and our little ones. I myself will surety for him, which means I'll guarantee him, from my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever, Father. I'll take full responsibility. If I don't bring him back, I will be guilty. For if we had not lingered, he says, surely by now we would have returned for the second time. And their father Israel said to them, now here again, Israel, Jacob, instead of trusting and depending upon God the way he was supposed to do, what does he do? He now again tries to help God out, which God doesn't need our help. It's better to stay out of the way. But look what he does. He begins to connive. Watch this. And then their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. See, now it's not God's plan, it's his plan now. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man. A little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, and pistachio nuts and almonds. And take double money in your hands and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was oversight. Take your brother also and arise and go back to the man. And may God Almighty El Shaddai, notice, give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother Benjamin. And if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. Benjamin was in Egypt being held hostage by Joseph. Now, something kind of interesting here. He prays and he asks the blessing of God, but already he has his own plan too. And God, he's wanting God to bless his own plan. So here we see it, verse 15. And so the men took the present with Benjamin, and they took double money in their hands, and they arose and they went down to Egypt. And they stood before Joseph. And Joseph saw Benjamin with them, and he said to the steward of his house, take these men to my home and slaughter an animal and make ready for these men, and we'll dine with them at noon. And then the men did as Joseph ordered, and the men brought the men into Joseph's house. And now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. All of a sudden they're saying, wait a minute, Joseph's not here. We're in Joseph's house and they're going to serve us dinner. What's going on here? They thought they were dead. But it was all a setup of God. Notice this. And they started, you know, guilt is a terrible thing because they started thinking, are we here because of the money that was put into our sacks and we took it and we never returned? Are we going to get killed now? Look what they say. Verse 18. And now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, "It is because of the money which was returned in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may seek an occasion against us and fall upon us to take us as slaves with our donkeys." It's a setup they were thinking. And when they drew near to the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him at the door of the house, and they said, "Oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food." Now they're defending themselves. No, they're confessing. "But it happened when we came down to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of their sack, and our money full of weight, so we have brought it back to our hands." They wanted to make sure they understood that they did not steal the money. They were protecting themselves. Notice they're not trusting in God. "And we have brought down other money with our hands to buy food. We do not know who put our money into our sacks." But he said, "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasures in your sacks." Notice this. It seems that Joseph had witnessed to these people in Egypt. "And I have money," that he brought Simeon out to them. "And so the men brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave them donkey's feet. And then they made the present ready for Joseph coming at noon, for they heard that they would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him this present and was in their hand into the house, and they bowed down before him to the earth." Again, the dream that Joseph had about the sheep bowing down to him, here's his brothers now bowing to him, just as God had said would happen. "And then he asked them about their well-being and said, 'Is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive?'" He's trying to find out. "And then they answered, 'Your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive.' And they bowed their heads down and they prostrated themselves. And then he lifted up his eyes and he saw his brother Benjamin, and he lost it, his mother's son. And he said, 'Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me about?' And he said, 'God be gracious to you, my son.' And now his heart yearned for his brother. And so Joseph made haste, and he sought somewhere to weep. And he went out into the chamber and he wept there." Notice, by himself. He lost it. Totally an emotional moment as he saw his little brother there. You know, it's amazing, even as Christ is going, you know, not only to weep over Jerusalem, but how the Jews were so blinded to the first coming of Jesus Christ, and how Christ is coming again. But before he comes, they're going to receive the Antichrist before they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, because they believed the lie rather than the truth. "And then he washed his face and he came out. And he restrained himself and he said, 'Serve the bread.' And so they set him in place by himself, and they themselves and the Egyptian who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for this was an abomination to the Jews." So there are three tables, the brothers in one, Joseph in another, and the Egyptians in another table, because they couldn't eat together. "And then they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth." Notice, he blows their minds, because what he does is he sits them down according to age, and then they think, wait a minute, something's wrong here again. How does he know how old we are? Watch this. "And then they sat before him, and the firstborn according to the birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And then the men looked in astonishment at one another, and he took the servings from them before him. But Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. And so they drank and were merry with him." But they were wondering the whole time, how does this guy know our situation? "And then he commanded the steward of the house, saying, 'Fill these men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry back, and put each man's money in their mouth of a sack.'" He sent them up again. "And then put also my cup," which was a special cup of divination, according to the Egyptians, the silver cup. "And in the mouth," he says, "in the mouth of the sack of the youngest." Don't put it in the oldest, put it in the youngest. Notice, he sent them up so he can reveal himself to them. "And his grain money. And so he did according to the word of Joseph as spoken. And as soon as morning was dawn, the men were sent away, and they and their donkeys. And as they were going, when they had gone out of the city and were not very far off, Joseph said to his stewards, "Get up and follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why did you repay evil for good?'" What, in a way, Joseph is getting even with them for what they did to him 20 years before. I mean, he's playing with their minds. This is the last of all events. And then, verse 6, "And so he overtook them, and he spoke to them these same words. And they said to him, 'Why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants should do such a thing. We didn't steal nothing. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which was found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomsoever," and here's what they say, "with whomsoever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be your Lord's slaves." And he said, "Now also let it be according to my words," or to your words, "and he with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless." And so then they thought, hey, nobody has anything, so they volunteered themselves to open up the sacks. But what they didn't know, it was in their youngest brother's sack. Watch this. "And then each man speedily let down the sack to the ground, and each one opened his sack. And so he searched, and he began with the oldest, and left up with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack." I guarantee you their heart sunk down, and they said, "Oh no. Just as Dad said it would happen, it's going to happen now. We're dead." "And then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city." They were totally bummed out. "And so Judah, his brother, came to Joseph's house, and he was still there. And they fell before him to the ground. And Joseph said to them, 'What deed is this that you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination?' And then Judah said to him, 'What shall we say to my Lord?'" He's totally broken now. Notice, totally in submission to Joseph. And this is where Joseph wanted his brothers now. "Or how shall we clear ourselves now? God has found out our iniquity and of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and also with whom the cup was found." Did you notice what he said? He says, God finally, after 20 years, has revealed our sin. And they were thinking back to the time when they took Joseph and they sold him into bondage into Egypt. Right here, they make confession to Joseph, and they don't even know it's Joseph. They said, "Now our sin has found us out. This is why this is happening to us. 20 years later, man, God is not punishing us." And then he said, "Far be it from me that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go up in peace for your father." You guys can all go except for your younger brother. And then Judah said, "Wait a minute, you don't understand, Joseph." Judah came near to him and said in a very small voice, "Oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh." Listen to me, please. My Lord asked a servant, saying, "Have you a father or a brother?" And we said to my Lord, "We have a father. He's an old man. And a child of old age who is the youngest, his brother. His brother is dead, and he alone is left, and his mother's children, and his father loves him. And then you said to your servants, 'Bring him down to me, that I may set the eyes on him.' And we said to my Lord, 'The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die.'" Now, we told you all this, and this is why I'm here. If the child does not return, man, my dad will die, will have a heart attack, and we will be as dead men. Verse 23, "But you said to your servants, 'Unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more.' And so it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord. And as our father said, 'Go back and buy us a little food.' But we said, 'We cannot go down.' He says, 'If our youngest brother is with us, then we will not go down. For we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us.' And then Your servant, my father, said unto us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. The one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces, speaking of Joseph, and I have not seen him ever since. But if you take this one also from me, the calamity befalls me, you shall bring down my great hair and sorrow to the grave or to hell. And now therefore, when I come to your servant my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he immediately will die. And so your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Notice here now, Judah is passing the final test, as now he is saying, look, I'll take the blame for everything. And as Joseph saw Judah, he saw right through Judah that Judah now was repentant after 20 years for what he had done. He began to see the heart of Judah now, and is beginning to touch the heart of Joseph. Notice, and now therefore, please, let your servant remain instead of the lad. Why don't you let me stay here as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers, please. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see evil that would come upon my father? Joseph, please listen to me. Verse 1 of 45, watch this. And then Joseph could not restrain himself before them anymore as he stood before him. What a beautiful picture here of Jesus Christ. Full of emotion, he breaks down. And he cried out and he said, make everyone go out from the room. So all the Egyptians had to leave. He says, but only my brothers stay here. And so no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. Can you imagine how they felt when he said, hey, you guys, it's me, it's Joseph. Uh-oh, we're dead. Imagine that. Here it is. And he wept out loud, and the Egyptians outside of the house of Pharaoh heard it. And then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers were shocked. Notice, but could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. Their mouth was open and they couldn't believe it. They said, oh man, we're dead. What a beautiful picture here of Jesus Christ revealing himself to the Jews at the second coming of Jesus Christ here. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. He wants to hug them, but they're not sure about that. Please come near to me. And they came near and he said, I am Joseph, your brother whom you sold into Egypt. And check this out. This is so beautiful. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you saw me here. For God sent me before you to prepare life. This is all of the will of God. Here it is, 20 some years later, Joseph now understands the will of God. Why he was sold. Why he was cast in prison for 2 years. And then released. Now he can see, you know, as you get a little bit older and you look back when you were young and all the things you were going through and all the things you've been through in the past 25 years, as you're maturing in the Lord, you can look and say, oh man, now I see why I went through those things. I can't believe it. At that time I was murmuring and complaining. But now I see so clearly that it was God's will to put me here and put me there and do this and do that. And I had to go through this and go through that so that God could make me the kind of person that I should be today. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. This is the way God works, His purposes and His will in each one of our lives. As now He's revealing His whole life before them. You intended it for good. You intended it for evil. But God intended it for good to preserve life because God could see further than we can see. You see, God could see what was going to happen. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me here so that I could prepare the way to feed you guys and to get you down here to me. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And that is the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ. Notice that. And so now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord over all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. God is the one whose hand was upon me. Hasten and go up to my father now and say to him, thus saith your son Joseph, God has made me Lord over all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. Can you imagine what his brothers are thinking? How are we going to tell dad that? We tell dad, he'll find out that we are the ones that cast him in the pit. Joseph will tell him. Notice this. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen. Again, that's about 45 miles from Egypt, down by Cairo. And you shall be near to me, you and your children, and your children's children, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. And there I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all you have come to poverty. For there, notice there are still 5 years of famine. And notice how God prepares a way so they don't have to starve, but God makes provision for all of their needs, even their flocks and their little children. As God is the one that provides for all of our needs. No matter what the world goes through, God preserves his people. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of your brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all the glory in Egypt and all that you have seen, and you shall hasten and bring my father down here. And then he fell on his brother's Benjamin's neck and he wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. Notice deep, deep emotions running here. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. And now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come down, they're here. And so it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. Notice how God touches the heart of Pharaoh now to receive Joseph's family to come down. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your beast and depart and go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your households and come to me. And I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. And now you are commanded to do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt and your little ones and your wives and bring your father and come down. Notice he even makes provision for wagons to go ahead and bring the people down to Egypt. And also do not be concerned about your goods. For the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. And then the sons of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them carts according to their command of Pharaoh. And he gave them provision for the journey. And then he gave all of them to each man changes of garments, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments, the inheritance. Notice that. And then he sent to his father these things. 10 donkeys loaded with good things of Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father and for his journey. And then he sent his brothers away, and they departed, and they said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Don't let guilt get to you. Notice that. And then they went up out of Egypt, and they came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And they told Jacob, saying, Jacob is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still. He almost had a heart attack. Notice that. Because he did not believe them. I mean, they already had lied to him. He goes, no, you got to be kidding me, you guys. You guys are lying to me. You're putting me on. No, Dad, he's alive. But notice this. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, notice they don't tell their story, they tell him about Joseph. And when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, notice their father, revived. He was getting ready to die. He said, ah, forget this. You know, he gets revived and he lives another, 40 more years. And then he says, and then Israel said to, it's enough, Joseph, my son is still alive. I will go down and see him before I die. And amazing, because he not only wants to see his father, but his son, but here we see the beautiful picture of that connection between father and son and God's hand upon him. And then one more chapter, look what he says. And so Israel took his journey with all that he had. And he came to Beersheba, and he offered sacrifices to God and his father Isaac. Notice how Jacob now, or Isaac, or Israel, comes back before he goes on to Egypt, and he gets his fellowship back with God here at this particular moment. Notice this. He inquires of God now. He hadn't done this in a long time. And now he's actually not only coming back to God, but God wants to lead him to Egypt. In verse 2, and then God spoke to Israel in a vision by night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God Elohim, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation. There, notice God's assurance now. God leads Jacob. His God wants to lead you. God wants to lead me when we are taking leaps of faith. I will go down with you to Egypt. I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes, because he was blind. And then Jacob arose to Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob and their little ones and their wives and their carts, and Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And so they took their livestock and their goods which they had acquired in the land of Canaan and went to Egypt, and Jacob and all his descendants with him. And then his sons and his sons' sons, their grandkids, and his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. And now these were the names of the children of Israel. Jacob, his sons, went to Egypt, and he gives all of the names of these people that went down to Egypt. Verse 22, and these were the sons of Rachel who were born to Jacob, 14 persons in all. And then the son of Dan was Hushim, the son of Naphtali, and Jassiel, Guni, and Jezir, and Shillem. And these were the sons of Bilhah, whom Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, and she bore these Jacob, 7 persons in all. And then he says, and all the persons who went down with Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body, besides Jacob's sons' wives, were 65 persons in all. And it's amazing, because by the time we get into Exodus, 72 people are in Egypt. And out of the 72 people in Egypt, which are Jacob's sons and family, out of 72 people, by the time the people of God in 430 years leave Egypt, there's 2.1 million people out of 72 people that leave Egypt. As God blesses it. And we see the Exodus. And so here we see the whole preparation for that. Verse 28. And then he sent Judah before him and Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen in Egypt. And they came to the land of Goshen, which is by the Nile, the Delta Nile. It's a very rich area that actually was good for the flocks for the Jews, because the Egyptians didn't have any flocks of sheep and goats. And so Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. Can you imagine what it must have been like for these guys to see each other? And then he presented himself to him, and he fell on his neck, and he wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, "Not let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive." But you see, this was all prophetical by God. And then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, 'My brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have now come to me. And the men are shepherds, for the occupation had been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And so it shall be, when Pharaoh calls you, say, "What is your occupation?" Tell him, and you shall say, "Your servant's occupation has been with livestock. We're shepherds from our youth even until now, both we and our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." And yet God gave them favor over Pharaoh, just as God had said. And the whole reason, again, the Messiah, the line of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll pick up next week. We'll probably finish next week. Father, we thank you so much for your love and for your grace and for the mercies that you give to us so richly. Lord, as we want to be like Joseph in your perfect will, Father, Lord, we don't understand what you're doing in each one of our lives tonight, and there may be people here that they find themselves frustrated. thinking that they don't have the best in their lives. And Lord, maybe because you haven't really spoke to them and you haven't really revealed yourself to them as you're letting them trust you by faith, not by feeling.